And in this time of a lot of negativity, of a lot of almost Jeremiah-like warnings for the world, what we're lacking a lot of is just words of comfort for people. We can berate people. We can get behind them and push them to do greater things. But by far and large, the thing that has the most effect on people that we talk today is words of comfort. People hurt, and we need to talk to them in a way that brings comfort. So it seems kind of strange trying to fit my beliefs in sheep or my understanding of sheep with words of comfort. So this really isn't about me at all. I was going to take it a little bit further, but I'm not. Instead, I'm taking it on how we should be shepherds and what that involves. I started off with the theme of shepherds, and all of a sudden these other sheep subjects came in as well. And I sort of veered off with all sorts of different tracks. So I'm trying to bring everything together into this one exhortation. Right. Shepherds were there at the birth of Christ, or very, very soon after. They were certainly aware of the moment of the birth of Christ. Who could not be with the stars of the host of heaven above them, and that one star proclaiming the birth of Christ? So they, for whatever reason, I don't know why the Lord picked shepherds, but they were there. Shepherds and wise men. In a way, Israel was a lot like sheep without a shepherd. And yet, when they were called into Egypt, into the land of Goshen, when Joseph's family was finally brought into the land, he told them to say, "We are shepherds," because that is an abomination to the Egyptians. Well, I'm sort of on the Egyptian side here. Not the people, but the animals. So we have this theme of Israel being attached to the concept of needing a shepherd, of being sheep, being lost sometimes, and we'll come across that. While in Egypt, amazingly enough, there's a prophecy of that greater shepherd to come. In Genesis 49, says Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches have run over a wall. The archers have grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And this is the theme that I found running right through everything that I looked at concerning sheep and shepherds in Scripture. It's the point that ties them all together. The next mention of shepherds in Scripture, funnily enough, is not a positive one. It's talking about Moses going into the land of Midian and meeting the priest of Midian who had seven daughters. This is in Exodus 2. And the shepherds came and drove them away. I thought, well, you know, this doesn't quite fit what I'm trying to say here about shepherds being really good to sheep and whatever. Here we've got a bunch of shepherds that are actually not very nice people. But then you understand that the shepherds of Midian were not the sort of shepherds that God had in mind for his people. And as a result of that, Moses was given Zipporah, the daughter of the priest of Midian, to be his wife. And she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershon, For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Now the name Gershom means foreigner. And I thought, why bring that aspect? And we know he's in a strange land, but why highlight the fact that the son of this union was to be a stranger or a foreigner? And it was, to my mind, the linking of those of true Israel, descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and people from outside, in this case the land of Midian. How do I think that? Because the same thing is happening today, has happened to us, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens or strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Matthias' definition of Gershom is to, of aliens rather, is to estrange, to be shut out from fellowship, to be kept away from true fellowship with God. So that was us. We didn't have a place in God, in fellowship with God, until we came to acknowledge that we are sheep that need a shepherd. Of course, we know there are lost sheep, and I used to think lost sheep were those who had come in from outside, until I gradually worked out, no, they were aliens, they were separate. Lost sheep are those who have been in the truth and have gone out. And there's a tremendous amount in scripture about the effort that needs to go on to recover these lost sheep, with parables about it, with Jesus' sayings about it. The fact that they need to be under shepherdship. Israel was described back in Numbers as being lost sheep. Reading from Numbers 27 verse 15. Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over a congregation, in other words a shepherd, which may go out before them and may go in before them, which may lead them out and which may bring them in that congregation of the Lord, that be not a sheep which have no shepherd. And so we have the story continuing. The Lord says to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man of whom is the Spirit. And Joshua became that shepherd of Israel at that time. Jeremiah, which we've been reading a lot of recently, speaks of Israel being lost, turned away, listening to false voices, false shepherds. And Jeremiah 50 verse 6 says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Once again, this was a bit of a jarring verse for me. That in that shepherds that should have been tending the flock were in fact false. So let's be aware that sometimes when we look out and see people preaching the word of God, speaking about the Lord, and think of them as false shepherds, false prophets, take a look at ourselves as well to make sure that we're doing it with the right heart, that we're actually leading our people that we're trying to reach into the kingdom and not putting up barriers. And sometimes we do it unwittingly, that we say words that are inappropriate at the time. We do things out of tradition that put people off. So our shepherdship needs to be one of self-examination as well, to make sure we're meeting the criteria that God puts on his shepherds. Jesus himself speaks about Israel being the lost sheep in Matthew 10, when he sends his disciples out and he says, go not into the way of the Gentiles, in other words, not to the aliens, or into any city of the Samaritans, which was the sort of in between the house of Midian or the offspring of Moses and Zipporah, so to speak. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's not a commission that's been taken away. The fact that God wants Israel to be spoken to be shepherded properly, is still as real today as it was back then. Something that I understand Christadelphians and others who have a love for Israel like to put some effort into supporting Israel, either through the word or through sending succor when it's needed. Other people have benefited by Israel being shepherded properly. Matthew 15 verse 24, when we talk about the Canaanite woman whose daughter has a devil. And Jesus tells his disciples, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet even that Canaanite woman benefited in acknowledging that she was unworthy to receive, and so humbled herself. So we see this gradual transition from just the house of Israel to one person here, one person there. And eventually we see reference in scripture to another flock coming in and becoming one fold. We are enjoined to put some effort into recovering our lost sheep. Luke 15 says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? This puts puts big emphasis on those who are elders in any ecclesia. For they are the shepherds of that ecclesia. The younger members are sheep. And if sheep go astray, who should put the effort into going to find them? All ecclesia? There are some unlearned in the ecclesia still. And I'm not talking just about here, I'm talking about the ecclesia worldwide. So it needs to be people who are good and true shepherds to put that effort in to recovering that sheep which was lost. We are to be gentle. Back in Genesis 33, when the flocks were being driven back towards Esau and Esau was coming out to meet the three groups, Jacob said to him, when Esau said to come quickly, my Lord knows that the children are tender and the flocks and herds are young with me, and if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will drive. It's a pretty salutary lesson. It's not just the youngsters that would have died if they'd overdriven them. Because the ecclesia or the flock had young with them, losing the young would have meant the whole flock perished. I can understand that from a livestock point of view, because if you don't have your young stock coming through, you don't have an older herd or an older flock. Your herd perishes. It becomes less, it becomes weak, it becomes tainted in some ways, and with no way of becoming whole and entirety. So we treat not just the young, but the whole flock gently. We hear about the term leading, and that's something that we need to practice probably more than what we do. It's very easy to get behind somebody and, but you need to do this, you need to do that, okay? And that hand in the middle of your back saying, get up there and do it, is uncomfortable at times for people that are not used to it. But if you were to walk up there beside that young person and say, I'll stand with you, I'll lead you in this, come with me, imagine the effect that that would have. All of a sudden we see that growth starting to happen. The gentleness, the leading, lifts everybody. And it puts everybody in their right place. It allows the young people of the ecclesia to learn to trust, to lean on, to look to their elders for advice, to know what to do within an ecclesia. Sometimes it's a scary thing for somebody new coming into an ecclesia. And I can still remember 40 plus years ago going into the Hamilton ecclesia. It was the first big Christadelphian, well, big Christadelphian ecclesia at that time. It was a little bigger than here, but not much. And feeling overwhelmed by it because I hadn't been in a group of Christians that had my welfare at heart like that before. And to my benefit, I had people that led me and were gentle with me and coached me. Not coached me along wrong lines, but coached me into looking for myself. And it's the same way with our physical flocks and our physical herds in farming now. You can't put a bunch of animals in paddocks, say, go eat, fill your bellies and grow up. You actually have to coax them to. You feed them meal, you give them some starter food to develop them. It's the same with us. We need to be careful that we don't overwhelm our young flock with more than what they can actually partake of. And it is overwhelming. Right? When we went for our examination for baptism, we thought, we were in fear. Self-induced fear because we didn't know any better. But what we thought we had to know to be baptized. And in fact, because we had good shepherds who were able to lead us in that examination, we felt a lot more comfortable and we grew as we should, and we were baptized in the right spirit as we should. So we've all been called to be shepherds to varying degrees. But we have one who is the shepherd of all. Now we've read in John 10, verily I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So not everybody in the sheepfold is a shepherd. There are some people who are there for other reasons. I could have a guess at some of those reasons, but I won't. That's something that we need to deal with as an ecclesia, just as it happens. But we know that the one who does lead us is the true shepherd. John 10:7 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Not one who enters the door, but he is the door of the sheep. So if we come to the ecclesia knowing that Jesus is the door that we have to go through as shepherds, then our walk will be in line with what Scripture requires. We're told about another flock in Scripture. We've heard about Israel being the one flock that Jesus sent his disciples out to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Further on in John 10, verse 16, Jesus gives another little clue that he's looking for more than just the house of Israel now. He says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, I spent a lot of time thinking about, prior to this, that the house of Israel and the Gentiles were going to be two houses side by side. Because we have the two candlesticks, we have the two olive trees. But here we see it's not the house of Israel on one side and the Gentiles on the other side. This is one fold, one group together, and one shepherd. There will be no difference in the sheep between Israel and the Gentiles. We're getting pretty close to the time of seeing our sheep, our chief shepherd, appear again. Matthew 26, Jesus says to them, "All you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock be scattered abroad." And we did see the shepherd smitten in a way that is particularly cruel. But as we read before, he had the power to give his life and to take it up again. It was his choice to take that path. And we do know that the flock was scattered. And it wasn't a bad thing that the flock was scattered at that time. The fact that the flock was scattered, we're seeing in ecclesias like Bar Plenty here, where the Lord pulls people together, and when the group is strong enough, he sends people out. That's how the word was sent around the known world at the time of Christ. Persecution sends people out into all sorts of lands. And persecution sends people in to areas where they can receive the word of God. And we're seeing that out of North Africa into the southern Mediterranean at this time. Africans into Italy and Spain. All through that area, the word of God is being preached to these people. And they're accepting the Lord. So the flock is growing in ways that we could not have imagined even a few years ago. At the time of the end, Matthew 25 speaks about it, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, that we are included on the right hand of Christ, that we not find ourselves on the left hand and cast out. However, this is an exhortation for comfort as well. And Luke 12, verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock," and I can see a very little flock before me today compared to last weekend. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."